Amen. Our second scripture reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, if you will, from the second letter of Kings, second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and then verses 6 through 14. And you can find this in your pew Bible in the Old Testament, the first half, on page 317. And this is the story of the end of the time of the prophet Elijah. So hear this story. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today is continuing as we continue on in Paul's letter to the Galatians. We'll be starting in Galatians 5, verse 1, skipping down to verse 13 to 25. That can be found on page 179 in the New Testament in your pew Bible. Hear these words. "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fruit, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson today continues in the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. You can find this in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 66, and I'd welcome you to follow along. Page 66. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, one of the good things about reading ahead in the lectionary is I hope that the readings will start to make more sense. Because when you look at these four readings that we had for today, when you get right down to it, I believe that all of them speak about the difficulties involved in following God, truly following God's call. And there really is no way around the truth. The path of discipleship is indeed a difficult road to travel. You think about Psalm 77, the psalmist laments a time when it seems that God is no longer listening and no longer responding. And yet, that writer goes on to remind us of God's amazing deeds throughout history. Go back to the Hebrew Bible from 2 Kings. We have the story of Elisha literally and spiritually taking over the mantle from Elijah. Elisha's one request of his old teacher and prophet was that he be given a double portion of Elijah's amazing zeal and commitment to following God. In the passage that Mark read, Paul reminds the first century followers of Jesus Christ of the difficulties involved in discipleship and community. This is a message of the nitty-gritty details of a Christian life lived in community of believers. Paul contrasts the work of the flesh with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those who commit themselves to the works of the flesh, as Paul says, those folks will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in sharp contrast, Paul promises goodness in following Christ. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. And finally, in the gospel story from Luke, we hear that Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem. Even though the apostles are still nearly clueless about people rejecting their message and refusing to accept their ministry, Jesus presses on toward his destiny, the fulfillment of his divine calling. Three times, three different would-be apostles approach Jesus and ask if they might follow him. And Jesus is clear that the call to follow him must involve the rejection of all of our worldly relationships. We cannot even look to our own comfort. We cannot even allow our commitment to our own family to get in the way of following Jesus. Now, some readers of the Bible say that Jesus is using hyperbole here, that he is exaggerating simply to make a point about the call from God, that he doesn't really mean that we are to reject everything literally, that we're literally supposed to reject everything in order to follow him. But don't kid yourself. Jesus' message is not exaggerated. Jesus means every word. Each of us has been called to follow Jesus. And each of us is expected to make that calling the highest priority in our life. We need to be clear about this call, but we also need to be realistic. The path to discipleship is difficult, but Jesus offers us help along the way. Jesus expects that each of us will do our best, but he also knows that we will fall short of the goal that he has set, and that Jesus will forgive us. You got to keep in mind also the reality that Paul has told us. Our salvation is assured by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ, which is itself a gift from God. There is nothing we can do to earn God's grace. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, because we don't believe in works righteousness, that we can do something to earn our salvation. But there are plenty of ways that we can respond to God's love that will help us to grow in our faith. Now, just as Paul deals in the nitty-gritty details of living in Christian community in the first century, I want to spell out to you some concrete and realistic ways that you can respond to God's call to you in the 21st century. And I believe that each of us needs to look to the stars in order to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I call your attention to the graphic that's in your bulletin. If you look at that page that's in your bulletin, on the back of the hymn, there is the stars to following Jesus Christ. Pull that out if you would. Now, many of you have probably encountered all of these ideas before, but I wanted to put them into a graphic depiction that would be easy to remember. Now, I kind of had this idea that a disciple of Jesus Christ might tape this to his or her refrigerator, might even put it up on your computer monitor in order to be reminded of these thoughts as you go about through your day. Now, this is kind of cute. This may be not your cup of tea, but go with me on this. Stars, five letters, S-T-A-R-S, 5 points to a star. So think about this. Start in the lower left corner with S. These stars, if you will, are the expectations that I have for all members of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. As Mark and I introduced our new members to the life of United Methodism, we explained that these are the expectations for membership in the denomination of United Methodism. So first off, the first S. In order to follow Jesus, we need to attend Sunday worship every week. As long as you are able to come, as long as you are not sick, as long as you're not out of town, we expect you to be here. The only way that we can be the body of Christ is if every member of our community comes together each week to praise God. Going up along to the first point over here, in order to follow Jesus, you need to tithe, T. As the Bible tells us very clearly, our goal should be to return to God a full 10% of all that we have and all that we are. And now the point pointing directly north. In order to follow Jesus, you need to assist in mission. As Alex told us, members of our youth group and their adult leaders just went to Oklahoma in mid-June on a mission trip, and many of you folks provided food and money that they could make that trip possible. Jesus wants each of us to participate in hands-on ways of reaching out to God's people. We need to work with people face to face as we assist in mission. In order to follow Jesus working around the star, you need to attend to regular disciplines. By this, I mean those things that you do every day in order to keep yourself in close relationship and close stewardship to God. Praying, journaling, reading and studying your Bible, doing something good for your body. All of these are just a few of the disciplines that you might practice in order to keep your faith growing. And finally, in order to follow Jesus, you need to keep learning about God's word and God's message. And this is easily accomplished by participating in small groups. Join our Bible study and book study group. Join the choir or the bell choir. Join the United Methodist women or the United Methodist men. Help out with Sunday school or the youth group. All of these small groups help each of us to grow and to mature in our faith. So I'm asking that you look to the stars to follow Jesus Christ. Sunday worship, tithing, assisting in mission, regular disciplines, and small groups. That's what we believe it means to follow Jesus Christ. But beyond the cute little mnemonic, let's be clear. The path of discipleship is difficult, but each of us is called to follow Jesus Christ. It's difficult, but not impossible. Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine, and Jesus is with you every step of the way. We need to walk with the Lord. Shalom. Amen.